What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that Underdog is the place to be if you guys want to crush your buffoon league mates this year. Underdog not only is the best place to play fantasy football because it has no waivers, no trades, you just draft, and then you collect your winnings at the end of the year. Big, big time winnings. $2 million to first in Best Ball Mania 6. Contest for any price point. But the reason that I love Underdog so much is because when I get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 drafts under my belt, I know exactly where players are going in sharp, real ADP drafts that are going to make me laugh at where I can get players in my home redraft league. Because ultimately, that's what I care about winning the most, my home redraft league. So when you're training on Underdog, when you're drafting, you're getting the best real life practice you can possibly get. Doing mock drafts on ESPN, doing mock drafts on Yahoo will not get you as prepared as Underdog will. Sign up right now. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up and you'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash on the site on your first deposit and a gimme pick in your pick'em lobby. Check out the link in the description of all of our videos to get started. Now let's get into it. Is the end finally near for these dominant, prolific wide receivers in fantasy football? We are going to be going over wide receiver age curves today, specifically going in depth on five wide receivers who are above the age of 30. Ryan Heath of Fantasy Points did a phenomenal job breaking down all of the data for us. Go give him a follow over on Twitter. And of course, he has been on this channel a couple of times, one of the best young minds in the fantasy space. We are going to be having the conversations about fantasy wide receivers, talking about guys specifically who are 30 plus years old, who are still fantasy relevant. Are they washed? Are they likely to fall off? Or do they got one more in them, a couple more years in them for your dynasty and for your season long teams? These guys are pretty consequential that I'm going to be talking about. They're going pretty high in drafts and we want to be correct on these decisions ideally. So when you take a look at wide receiver fantasy breakouts, we know that early on in your career, usually you're going to have your highest chance of breaking out. Year one, year two, year three is typically when you see wide receivers start to come into their own. And by age, when you look across the board, age 21 all the way to age 35, this is directly from Ryan's article, and I will link it down below in the description. Basically, a wide receiver usually peaks around year 5 through year 8, give or take, of their career, age 25 to 29 years old. Once you get outside of that range, which year 9 of their career, guys drafted in 2017 and before are entering basically year 9 or later into their career. Once you get to that age 30 range, that's when the alarm bell should start to go off for this position. At running back, it definitely happens earlier, 27, 28, 29 years old. But at wide receiver, age 30 and 31 are usually those like last great seasons that you'll get out of wide receivers. And then they'll gradually start to taper off into their early to mid 30s, 32, 33, 34, and 35. And we have a number of multi-time former wide receiver ones that we're going to talk about who are in that age range, 32 and 33 specifically. So key takeaway here is that, again, wide receivers generally are going to perform their best earlier on in their career, peaking at about year 4 through year 8 of their career, age 25 to 29. Quick reminder too, our draft guide is live over on Flock Fantasy right now. Version 1 has all of our positional rankings, tiers, overall, super flex, one quarterback, FSE rankings versus home leagues. So whether you play on Sleeper, ESPN, Yahoo, NFL.com, we have you covered with our rankings versus your platform specific ADP. And then we also have it compared to Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus, ECR, and Underdog Fantasy ADP. We will be dropping the 2025 Season Pass, which basically you can purchase that Season Pass for a reduced rate to the annual subscription, get you covered from August 1st all the way through January 1st on the site, get our draft guides, weekly rankings, rest of season rankings, some super chats as well for free, some trade questions, and you can use all the tools on the site during that period of time. So let's dive into the specific wide receivers that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be kicking it off basically with these top guys that are going high because Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, guys, there's still relevant fantasy names that are older who are above this kind of age range that we're looking at, but they're not consequential fantasy picks. So we're going to be talking about specifically the six guys that are the most relevant to your fantasy drafts and the five at the top that are the most relevant to your fantasy drafts here. So let's get it kicked off with Tyreek Hill of the Miami Dolphins. So with Tyreek Hill, he is currently age 31.4 years old. He is entering year 10 of his NFL career. We know the ceiling with Tyreek. It's been dramatically higher than a lot of other fantasy wide receivers over the last couple of years, specifically in 2022 and 2023. You guys can see on the screen right now what his actual splits were during that period of time. You see 21.9 PPR points per game, the wide receiver one from the beginning of 2022 to the end of 2023, getting over 10 targets a game, a 33% target share, just absolutely dominant, dominant numbers. And last year, even when I isolate out the games that Tua was playing, because this is a great feature about our site, in the player comparison tool, you can go through, customize the time frame, and specifically, I took the games in which Tua Tagovailoa was playing and he was on the field and Tyreek was healthy for. Again, we know that Tyreek was dealing with injuries last year, but in games with Tua Tagovailoa, he was still only about a back-end wide receiver 2, 14.9 PPR points per game, wide receiver 22. See a pretty dramatic fall-off from about a 10% target share loss there. Route percentage goes down, targets per snap goes down. Lot across the board really just was not nearly as good as he was in 2022 and 2023. And it also bears itself out in the advanced metrics that he may have fallen off from a talent perspective. You look at his season last year per PFF, the lowest PFF receiving grade in a number of years, the lowest yards per out run for Tyreek Hill in a number of years as well. You even look drill down into the reception perception data, which is not currently live, but of course, Matt Harmon does excellent work over there. You can see his success rate versus coverage on the right-hand side. 67.3% success rate versus man coverage is down from 75% in 2023, about a mid-50th percentile versus the 83rd percentile that he had in 2023. His zone coverage rate was well over 90% in 2023, and it dropped down into the 78th percentile at 81.8% success rate in 2024. And then his press coverage rate was a staggering 95th percentile in 2023, down to just the 68th percentile, 72% success rate in 2024. So with Tyreek, it's really about, is this the chicken or the egg? Was he like mentally dejected? The offense was a mess because Tua was injured. They weren't winning games. There was a whole lot of contributing factors to why Tyreek Hill had a bad season. One of them also being a wrist injury that he was dealing with all season long, with which many fantasy doctors have indicated it would be difficult to play through. It'd be hard to beat press coverage. It would be hard to catch the football consistently. He does project for full health. It sounds like he's not dealing with any injuries entering the year. And the surrounding factors, Tua Tagovailoa is healthy. Tyreek was clearly mentally dejected when you watched the games last year, and Harmon detailed that in the write-up as well. Offense should bounce back, projected as a top 15 unit, and they still have Mike McDaniel, who can scheme up some of the best open plays in the business. And we saw that with Tyreek and Waddle over the previous 2 years before 2024, when basically everything hit the fan. The million-dollar question for Tyreek Hill is, what is the range of outcomes for this guy and how likely is each one? Because similar to Christian McCaffrey at running back, there's three scenarios that exist here. Scenario one, he gets back to peak Tyreek Hill. The Dolphins are a great offense and he absolutely wins leagues for people going at the 2-3 turn right now on Underdog Fantasy and home leagues. Scenario number two is that he's completely washed. He gets hurt. He declines in a major way. And you are really regretting that draft pick, knowing that you could have drafted a younger receiver, a running back, or something like that in that area. And scenario number three is that maybe he only declines slightly more and he scores somewhere between the wide receiver 12 and the wide receiver 24. Like I said, last year, if he played at the level he played last year, we're talking about wide receiver 22 in fantasy points per game, the games in which Tua Tagovailoa was playing. So I would say last year we saw kind of the floor, but it's also possible he gets worse. It's also possible he loses a step even more. Again, from what I saw, I don't think he necessarily lost a step. It just, there was a noticeable decline in his production, in some of his efficiency metrics. For dynasty purposes, if you guys are looking to buy low on Tyreek Hill and you're buying for one last ride on a competitive team, it sounds like he's focused. The vibes are shifting in Miami. It sounds like things are going better for him. You simply have to swing on the ceiling given the price that you can pay for him in dynasty. You can probably get him for an early second round rookie pick plus a third, or maybe a 2-2s gets it done, plus you get Tyreek and a piece back. I think I probably would steer clear if this is the price tag where you have to give up a 2026 mid to late first and you get Tyreek in a mid to late second back. That would be about the highest I'd be willing to pay for Tyreek Hill, but definitely a guy that is going to be polarizing in redraft this year, because on one hand, we have one of the best fantasy receivers of the last decade and still probably has a very, very high ceiling given the offensive efficiency and the offensive projection we have. But on the other hand, if he fell off as a player, none of that matters. The Dolphins offense is going to decline again. The Jalen Waddle situation will probably become a lot more close in terms of target share, whereas in 2022 and 2023, it was clearly Tyreek was the number one and Waddle was the number two. So let me know what you guys are doing with Tyreek. At the beginning of the offseason, I was all in. I was drafting him absolutely everywhere, but I have kind of cooled down my exposure in recent weeks, and I'm starting to kind of flatten out my exposure a little bit as these risks kind of come up. Mike Evans is the other receiver that we're going to talk about here. Mike Evans of my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course. And Evans has not seen really a noticeable fall off at all. You see, from 2022 to 2023, in games that he played fully healthy, 16.2 fantasy points per game, wide receiver 12 over that stretch, despite not really getting a tremendous amount of volume, only a 23% target share, only 4.94 receptions per game. But we know where Mike Evans is going to make his hay. He's an excellent red zone target, number 5 in the NFL in receiving touchdowns over that stretch. End zone target wise, top 5 in the NFL, getting targeted down where it matters most as well. And Mike Evans, of course, this year is still playing for one of the better offenses in football. But he is turning 32 this year. And remember, when that chart that I showed you, and I'll put it up on the screen again, 32 is typically that year in which wide receivers fall off, the age 32 mark. Mike Evans did show absolutely nothing indicating a fall off in 2024. You see 17.8 fantasy points per game, wide receiver 9 when he was healthy. And also, again, getting it done in the red zone, 12 receiving touchdowns on the season. It was his highest yards per route run of his career, second highest PFF receiving grade in his career. Sneakily, too, Mike Evans is known for being this contested catch monster, right? Everybody knows this about Mike Evans. Every contested catch prospect that ever comes out of the draft, including one last year in Tet McMillan, gets compared for Mike Evans for this reason. If you are good at the catch point, you get comped to Mike Evans. After posting 20-plus contested target opportunities for 3 straight years, going into last season, and 6 of his last 7 years going into last season. In his best years, 2016, 2020, and last year, he is not getting nearly as many contested opportunities. And I think what that speaks to is a lot to do with Liam Cohen scheming him open a lot more. He only had 19 contested opportunities, and of course he comes down with 12 of them because he's Mike Evans. But new offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard is going to run the same type of offense. And honestly, I actually think we're going a little bit more pass heavy this year. The Buccaneers were only 19th in neutral pass rate over expected last year and 27th in pace of play. I do think this offense could operate more up tempo, let Baker do his thing, let the offense carry the team because the defense is not necessarily the strength of it. Baker Mayfield playing his best ball. The run game probably going to suffer a little bit without Tristan Wirfs for the first couple of games and without Liam Cohen calling up the plays. Mike Evans, at the beginning of the season, especially if you guys are playing in home redraft leagues where when a guy gets out to a hot start, you can sell him for pretty much anything. Mike Evans will have a rookie Emeka Egbuka, who sounds like he's doing great, but he's still a rookie. Jalen McMillan, who's going into his second year, still a young player. And a hobbled or maybe even out Chris Godwin to start the season. I know I'm as biased as a human being can possibly be on a certain player because Mike Evans not only is my favorite player on my favorite team, he is my favorite player in the history of the NFL. But even at age 32, the drop-off year, quote-unquote, absolutely nothing indicates he's lost a step, unlike Tyreek Hill and unlike the guy that I'm going to point to in a second, where there are things that if they fall off, we can point back to going, hey, the signs were there. He is cementing his future as a future gold jacket wearer with another big one this year. Barring any hamstring pulls, which is another major issue for Mike Evans, any kind of soft tissue injuries, that's when I would start to be worried about Mike Evans. But the Dynasty Trade Calculator says an early to mid second rounder in 2026 gets it done. So if you guys are in Dynasty Leagues, definitely be drafting Mike Evans in redraft, mid third round, all day I'll be taking him there. Moving into wide receiver number 3 that we're going to talk about here, Davante Adams of the Los Angeles Rams. He had his age 32 season last year, and he will be 33 on Christmas Eve. So he's kind of about 32 and a half right now. Similar to Mike Evans, I would love to sit here and say fade all old receivers, but dog, man, like wide receiver 10 in points per game last year, despite playing for 2 different bad offenses, the Raiders for the first couple of games, getting traded midseason to the Jets, and basically Alpha and Garrett Wilson down the stretch. Week 8 onward, you guys can see 19 fantasy points per game, wide receiver 5, and even on the whole season, he was wide receiver 10. Having a 31.6% target share while on the New York Jets, despite Garrett Wilson being one of the highest paid receivers in the league, and definitely if there's anything Garrett Wilson can do, it's command targets at a super, super high level. The fact that Davante Adams was able to do that after that limited game versus Pittsburgh, the first game he played, is nothing short of extraordinary. And I realized that he was playing with Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers obviously and him have like a very, you know, great connection, mind meld, and he was always going to target Adams heavily. But the sneaky bad thing about Davante Adams, the player, is that in back-to-back years, his PFF receiving grades and yards per route run have declined. His game as a route runner, this is the type of receiver he is a guy who can age gracefully when you think about it. He's not a speed guy. He never was. He's not the type of guy that needs a peak level 25-year-old athleticism to operate. He's really smart, excellent route runner, really savvy. He can be a veteran, get open versus zone coverage, and even if he loses a step, be very productive still. So his reception perception numbers paint a picture that says he still has it versus man coverage, but the zone coverage dip is actually somewhat concerning to me. 2023, he was at a 90th percentile zone coverage success rate. And every year of his career, pretty much, he's been up there as one of the best zone beating receivers in the league. Whereas last year, he fell down to just the 37th percentile. And given that he is going to be playing the X wide receiver role, and he's going to probably be shadowed by number one corners because Puka Nacua has moved all over the formation, that doesn't really bode well for him, knowing that he's going to have to beat man coverage at a super, super high level in order to get targets, knowing that, yes, he was good at beating man coverage last year, but he is entering his age 33 season. And if he loses a step a little bit, that would affect his ability to beat man coverage more so than zone coverage. But at the same time, his zone coverage beat percent could go up higher because he's playing in a better schemed offense with Sean McVay instead of, you know, Nate Hackett or whoever calling the plays in the New York Jets situation there. So there's good and there's bad for Davante Adams. I am not going to be the guy that comes out here and says fade him because he's old, but I'm also not going to be the guy that ignores a sign that a receiver could be declining, because there are some people out there in the industry that are like, Davante Adams is a top 12 receiver in my rankings, and I can't quite get there. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'll take my shares. I'm definitely going to want parts of this offense because they are projected for the fourth most points in football, and that sullies some of those concerns. But frankly, I've been of the opinion that Puka Nacua might be the best pick in the entire first round, and he is going to be the guy that I play this through because I do think he's the better receiver at this moment in time. And I think the way that he's used versus the way that Adams is going to be used in this offense lends itself to more fantasy production. But again, Davante Adams was literally the wide receiver 5 week 8 onward when he was playing for the New York Jets and one of the biggest league winners in all of fantasy football, while at the same time Garrett Wilson was finishing as a top 24 wide receiver, earning 8 targets per game. So if you can give up an early to mid second round pick for Davante Adams, I think that's the happy medium of, okay, I can stomach that risk in a dynasty league. If he falls off, he falls off, but he could very well be a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy points per game this year. And if Nacua were to go down, even potentially more than that, again, Mike Evans, to me, had less of indications of a fall-off. Tyreek Hill, more probably indications of a fall-off. But these three guys are going so high in drafts that you really do have to drill down and nitpick on some of them, because all of them play for good teams, all of them play for projected good offenses, and I think it's very easy to get blinded by the fact that they've been productive fantasy receivers in the past, and we could just assume that's going to continue, when that's not really how wide receivers age. They don't age like running backs, where they're elite, 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 and then they drop off a cliff. Wide receivers age a little bit more gracefully. A wide receiver, you know, have a really good year, have a great year, have an excellent year, a league winner year, then go down to an excellent year, a great year, a good year, and then maybe he starts to taper off a little bit. And I do think Adams could disappoint some people the way that Allen Robinson did when he was picked up by the Rams after a slight indication of a fall off. And Matt Harmon actually detailed that in Davante Adams' reception perception. He's like, hey, be careful here. The Rams have done this before, going after a guy who may be a little bit past his prime, and we all know how that turned out. If you guys drafted Allen Robinson a couple of years ago, he was one of the worst picks I can think of in recent memory in that like third, fourth round area. Moving into the next receiver, we have Calvin Ridley, who is sneaky old despite only being drafted in 2018. He is going to be age 31 this year because he was 24 coming out of Alabama his draft season. Last year, we saw DeAndre Hopkins get traded after the week 7 game against the Buffalo Bills. And from week 8 onward, we see Calvin Ridley averaging 14.4 fantasy points per game, the wide receiver 26 over that time. And then also getting a lot of targets. He was a top 24 receiver in targets, yards per target. He started to get more efficient. And keep in mind that he was doing this on an offense that ranked 27th in football, a combination of Will Levis and Mason Rudolph playing quarterback, and they literally finished with the first pick in the draft. So they were not winning a lot of games, not beating a lot of teams, not scoring a lot of points. His catchable target rate was 59.2%, which was 97th among wide receivers, and he now gets a major quarterback upgrade in Cam Ward, the first overall pick. A first overall pick in recent memory, I cannot remember getting less hype than a guy like Cam Ward. If he comes out, has a great season, plays like Bo Nix did, probably not like Jaden Daniels, but let's say he plays like Bo Nix did as a rookie, we're talking about a guy that could legitimately win people leagues in Calvin Ridley, because he is the clear number one on this team. I like Io Manor. I like Restrepo. I like some of the ancillary pieces they have, but this offense is going to run through Calvin Ridley and the two running backs. And as a player, Calvin Ridley is no longer his 2020 self in terms of we've only ever seen that one great season out of Calvin Ridley in his third year breakout where he had that monster top 5 finish. But Back-to-back 1,000-yard years, if he can get back to the 7 to 10 touchdown range, which Calvin Ridley, if he can do anything well, it is score touchdowns. He scored 8 in 2023. Every healthy season of his career, he scored at least 7, including his rookie season where he scored 10. So I would say that there's a good chance that Calvin Ridley has 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, and ends up being a really good value in the mid-5th round, early 6th round, give or take, where you're getting him in home leagues. I think he can be a really good value in fantasy this year. It's a new quarterback who has some actual ability and a gunslinger's mentality too. And the type of receiver that Calvin Ridley is has been big plays and touchdowns. So if Ward is going to be chucking it deep and trying to make big plays happen, I could definitely see Calvin Ridley connecting on some of those big plays that, if you recall that season in Jacksonville in 2023, we just didn't see that level of connection happen for Ridley. And he also actually has the 9th easiest schedule among fantasy wide receivers, which has been a problem for him in the past, where every time he's facing shadow coverage, the defense knows that he's getting the football, so they're able to key in on him. And I actually do kind of like some of the additions they made at wide receiver to help open up the offense a little bit. So for those of you guys looking for a wide receiver, deep PPR league, start 12, dynasty leagues or whatever, where you can start up to 6 or 7 wide receivers any given week, send a mid to late second for Calvin Ridley, because I do think with the quarterback upgrade, it unlocks his ceiling. He was a top 26 wide receiver down the stretch last year with bad quarterback play. Could he be a top 20 receiver with better quarterback play, a top 15 receiver with really good quarterback play if we get a Bo Nix caliber rookie season out of Cam Ward? So keep that in mind. I think Calvin Ridley's a little bit slept on. I actually moved him up my redraft rankings because normally he just was not a guy I was willing to click because I liked other guys in that area, but I'm going to have to start taking some shares here because, especially on Underdog where it's a half PPR setting, he's shown the ability to make big plays and touchdowns happen, and that's going to play from a best ball perspective. So moving into Stephon Diggs, who's the last really notable wide receiver that I'm going to talk about in depth here. Stephon Diggs entering his age 32 season, coming off of a torn ACL, I think we should be on high alert because that is not a good cocktail. 32-year-old who is the fall off season like I detailed from Ryan Heath, and he's coming off of a major knee injury, a torn ACL. I think a lot of people are ignoring it to some degree right now because, number one, he's meeting all the timelines that he needs to meet. He's, practicing in training camp. He's on pace to play for week one. But there are so many red flags here. Number one, wide receivers typically fall off at age 32, which is how old he is. Number two, torn ACL at that age, it's not great coming back from that injury. Number three, he's a wide receiver changing teams for the third time in the last 2 years. He's changing teams as well. And number four, after his last team decided not to keep him in back-to-back off seasons, where the Texans definitely could have brought him back if they wanted to and decided not to, the Buffalo Bills decided not to as well. Stephon Diggs did have an okay season in 2024 before he got injured. You see, fantasy-wise, he was really good. I mean, 16.1 fantasy points per game would definitely play given Diggs' price right now. But from a separation standpoint, his numbers were way down from his previous career numbers: 67th percentile versus man, 51st percentile versus zone, 67th versus press. The way he was used for the Texans too was kind of just an over-the-middle chain mover type of target, which would be great actually in New England because they don't have anybody like that currently outside of Hunter Henry. So I would say, looking at Stephon Diggs, I get the upside. The upside is very enticing because it's Stephon Diggs. He's been really good over the course of his career. Year two of Drake May. I'm very high on Drake May. Danny's very high on Drake May. I think the offense is going to be a whole lot better. The team is going to be a whole lot better. They upgrade the tackles. They upgrade the coaching staff. They upgrade the backfield with Trevion Henderson. They add Kyle Williams, another field stretching wide receiver, to help open up things for Stephon Diggs. I think he has a real upside swing where you're getting maybe 140, 150 targets out of this dude legitimately. I do think it's definitely possible he has that kind of a ceiling in 2025. And not to mention, like I said, every single report about this guy's injury are positive. There is not Brandon Ayuk level reports going on here. Every report that comes out for a receiver who had a single ligament ACL tear, just a run-of-the-mill single ACL tear, no meniscal damage, no MCL, no PCL, none of that stuff like we have with Brandon Ayuk, everything is tracking that he's going to play week one and be close to 100% by week four, week five, as Deepak on Twitter kind of details here. So with Stephon Diggs, I think the sharp ADP is noteworthy here. The fact that the sharps on Underdog are taking him in the 6th and the non-sharps in home leagues are taking him in the 8th at 95th overall on ESPN and Yahoo and NFL and sleeper formats, which is a feature of our draft guide, which I talked about earlier. That's noteworthy. The fact that the sharps are taking him higher than the regular redraft casuals is definitely important. Outside of round six, I would say that seems a little bit too early for me. I'm willing to take the value come round seven, come round eight of a redraft league, come round seven, come round eight of a best ball league. I would say generally I'm in because it's baked in across all of the formats. Nobody's getting too crazy here. It's not like people are seeing Stephon Diggs to the Patriots, projecting the targets and ranking him in round three or something like that. People understand he's 32. People understand he's coming off of a major knee injury. Although that you could argue, assuming health, think about it. How much different if Drake May takes a step, which most people believe he will, including the Vegas betting markets that have them set for like an 8.5 win total. If Drake May takes a big step, who's to say Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs don't score similarly and Terry McLaurin goes in the third round of fantasy drafts right now? Like that's what we're talking about in terms of the upside case for Stephon Diggs to me, but it is baked in at cost that he is rather risky given the injury, given the age. I would say your exposure on Stephon Diggs, my exposure on Stephon Diggs, keep it to dynasty teams where he's going for really cheap, mid to late second round capital. Again, deep PPR league, start 11, start 12, definitely a good value in that format. Regular redraft where he's going cheaper, and if you miss, it's an eighth round pick as opposed to a sixth round pick on underdog, and he could end up being like a stone zero or whatever. Definitely best ball, I'm more wary, but redraft and dynasty, I definitely like him a little bit more. And then Cooper Kupp, I also mentioned up top, so I can keep it brief on him. He's entering his age 32 season. He is kind of pan-seared barbecue chicken at this point in time. He is not really that good of a player anymore. I mean, you see the reception perception numbers, third percentile against man, 30th percentile against zone, third percentile against press. The PFF receiving grade has been declining since that 2021 and 2022, you know, monster seasons that he had, as was the yards per route run. Now, pro Cooper Kupp, because that's all the negative, is that he's probably washed as a player. Pro Cooper Kupp is that even despite probably being washed as a player, he could get out to a hot start because at the beginning of the year, he was averaging like well over 17 fantasy points per game with Puka in and out of the lineup. He had 14.6 PPR points per game in totality on the season and was a top 20 receiver. And again, he started out that season really strong, but the dude clearly fell off down the stretch last year. Routes, targets, all declining, posting just 17 targets over the final five games with the Rams. And we saw his routes really become an issue as far as like how much he was on the field and stuff. So in dynasty, if you're in, again, deeper PPR league, start 11, start 12, and you can get him for a third round pick, I think that's fine. If you wanted to go after him and plug him into your PPR flex spot or whatever, that's totally fine with me. But you're also going for Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, who Sean McVay has made a living using guys like Cooper Kupp in the way that he uses them. To now you're going to the Seattle Seahawks. And while I think Clint Kubiak is a decent play caller, Darnold's a downgraded quarterback, and we have no idea how these two guys are going to be used. JSN and Cooper Kupp both need to be used probably in the slot, ideally. But then at the same time, Kupp can only be played at the slot at this point in his career. So don't feel great about Cooper Kupp, but it is worth noting that there are some bright spots to his profile. It's not all bad. Whereas, you know, if Danny was on this video right now, he would say, I would never draft Cooper Kupp in a million years. It's like, if he slides in best ball, I think he's fine. If he's available for a third round pick in dynasty, I think he's fine. But in home redraft leagues, because of the name cachet that Cooper Kupp has, I'm probably out at that point in time because he'll probably go around the range of Diggs and other young receivers like Emeka Egbuka or whatever that I'm just not willing to take Cooper Kupp over at this point in his career. So the final verdict here on all six of these wide receivers, buyer beware on Tyreek Adams, given the slight indicators that they could have fallen off or might fall off more this year. Mike Evans, I think of anybody on this list, appears to be the most fine as far as hasn't had any fall off indicators, still projects well this year, especially at the beginning of the season. Home redraft leagues, he should get out to a very hot start with Godwin banged up, Egbuka a rookie, and so on and so forth. Stephon Diggs, definitely a hyper risky proposition, but is definitely worth the swing depending on the price. Depending on the price, I will hammer that home. And also the format too, because he's a lot more enticing in dynasty formats where he's really cheap as opposed to best ball where he's a little bit more expensive. Calvin Ridley, great pickup for cheap. No real signs of a fall off yet. His best couple of years, maybe not his best years because he's not going to probably replicate what he did in 2020. But of the last 2 years, I wouldn't be shocked if this year was the best of the last 3 year sample. And then Cooper Kupp, I would say fade him completely in home leagues because he's going to go too high for where I'm willing to draft him. Best ball, definitely fine if he starts to slide because the sharps are really off of him. And then if he's available for a third in dynasty, I think that's all right as well. But generally a full fade on Cooper Kupp. So If you guys were wondering about guys like Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Chris Godwin, they're not even 30 years old yet, so I'm not even going to talk about them as far as like a fall off, even though you could maybe argue that Deebo is already experiencing one. Godwin coming off of the injury could experience one this year. Generally speaking, wide receivers start to fall off around age 32, like we detailed in Ryan Heath's article. So if you guys did enjoy this video, leave a like, subscribe, start drafting fantasy teams right now. Over on Underdog today, you can get into $3 contests, $5 contests, and you could win big prizes even in those small entry tournaments. $25 BBM. You want to win $2 million playing fantasy football? I know I do. I'm putting 150 bullets into it this year. Use the promo code FSE to get started, and you could start drafting, get a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit, and then also you'll get a gimme pick in your lobby for come the fantasy football season. You could start making some picks on some games, and we'll, of course, have you covered with YouTube shorts, Instagram posts, and TikToks on Thursday night football picks and Sunday night football picks and Monday night football picks and all that good stuff. So the other thing too is drafting teams on Underdog Fantasy, while it's super fun and best ball's the best because you can draft as many teams as you want and there's no in-season management and there's no trades and there's no waivers or any of that stuff, it's also the best way to get prepared for your home league. Like, the reason I feel so confident going into my home league every single year is I've drafted like hundreds of teams by that point in time, and my league mates have done like 10 mock drafts, and I just know where players should go. And you'll be in, even though I do this for a living, you guys would still probably be well aware of where players should be going after doing a bunch of Underdog drafts, whether or not you have, fantasy research under your belt or whatever. So of course too, all of our rankings, redraft, dynasty, our redraft guide is live right now. The comparison tool that I used today that you guys saw on display, all of that and more is available over on flockfantasy.com. Use the promo code FSE for 30% off, a 7-day free trial, 6 months for free when you sign up annually. And you also get a free team review voucher so that me, Danny, we can break down your team on a Dynasty Decisions live stream in the next coming days or whatever. We can break that down for you guys if you're Dynasty players. And also too, if you guys are awaiting our redraft product, it is going to be coming out very soon. Basically, what we're going to be doing is giving people site access from August 1st to January 1st, so like a 5-month period during the redraft season, where for a discounted rate over our annual, you'll be able to get our draft guides, our in-season rankings, our rest of season rankings, all that stuff that you'll need for the redraft season specifically, and that'll be available to you guys probably in the next week or so. We're going to be announcing that, and that'll be a live product on the site for you. So if you've been waiting, taking the plunge, you only want to be involved in the fantasy football scene for the fantasy football season, we can definitely have you covered for that, and stay tuned for that announcement. That'll be coming out probably early next week, but by August 1st at the absolute latest, that should be live for you guys. So with that being said, peace out, and I'll talk to you soon.